This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My beloved brothers and my sisters, one of the greatest favors of Allah upon us is that we are part of the Ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah chooses whom He wishes, and He chose from the very beginning of creation everything that He wanted in the finest of details. In the last 2 days, during this beautiful tour that was given the title Echoes of Enlightenment here in Kenya, I made mention of an interesting point, and I received an email telling me that we never looked at it this way before, even though it is a reality. What was the point? The point is, none of us seated here came to earth by our choice. That's the point. Nobody who is here on earth came to the earth because they wanted to come to the earth, but rather a sign that there is a creator is that you are here without choice. That's a sign someone put you here. I am so sophisticated, I have a brain, I have eyes, I have feelings, I have capacity and ability, likes and dislikes, I have family members, I have so much more, and every single one of us has the same, and we feel similar. We feel important, no matter who you are. Everyone has their self-dignity. This is a gift of Allah. He is showing you that He is the one who put you here. He put you here. And in the same way that Allah Almighty placed you on earth without a choice, when you leave without a choice as well. So you came into this world without a choice, and you leave the world without a choice. So He who made me, surely you and I should be looking forward to meeting Him one day. We have to go back to wherever we came from. I am so sophisticated, like I said, and all of us are. Do you really think that if I were to die just because my heart stopped beating and the soul was separated from the body, do you really think it's the end of me, when I haven't even accomplished a small amount of what I would have loved to on earth? I give you a quick example. This masjid has perhaps a few thousand people, men and women, brothers, sisters, boys and girls. Surely I want to meet every single one of you and give you time to greet, to be able to find out, to be able to talk to each other, to let the hearts build a good relationship, because we are all human beings from the same mother and father, related and connected a few generations back. But I don't have the capacity in this world because I'm a human. Allah will give me and you that capacity in a time to come. He will give it to us. That is why when Allah describes paradise, He always uses a description, khalidina fiha. Amazing. You see, they will be dwelling in there forever, forever. Khalidina fiha hasunat mustaqarra wa muqama. Wow. Here's Allah describing it to say, dwelling therein forever. What a beautiful abode. And what a beautiful place to be in forever. Jannah. It means on earth, there are nice things that we aim for. I ask the youth who are here today, what would you like? Many people will say, I want a nice car. I want a nice house. I want a nice job. And I want a very beautiful. You see, a small boy said wife. Wallahi, small boy, he knows. He knows what he wants. Did you hear it? Wife, wallahi. They say no wife, no life. May Allah grant us ease. One brother had two wives. I said, you said no wife, no life. He said, well, I need two lives. May Allah forgive all of us. Nonetheless, that banter aside, to be more serious, Allah Almighty knows He created some things on earth and gave us as human beings the connection towards those things. Why do you like gold and silver and bright and nice things and luxuries? Because you're a human, that's why. But you don't know what Allah has prepared for you in Jannah. Allah says, I have prepared for you something amazing in paradise. I have prepared for you something amazing in paradise. Work towards it. Allah will grant it to you by His will and His mercy. You see, we have one statement which is the most powerful echo of enlightenment that needs to echo across our lives. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah, besides my maker who made me, who is in control of every aspect of my existence. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. I follow Him in everything that He said He did, and His entire life and every aspect of it is my business to ensure that I not only learn, but I endeavor to put into practice. That one statement, there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that states that a man will come on the day of judgment and he has done a lot of bad deeds, a lot of bad deeds. And it will be said to take account of his deeds, and as he is being taken account of regarding his deeds, there will be 99 files filled with bad deeds, each file from the east to the west. And as they are being placed on the scale of justice, you see, Allah is amazing. Allah is Rahman, Rahim, Ghafoor, Wadood, Tawwab, Ghaffar. These are the qualities of Allah and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most loving, most kind, most merciful, most beneficent, oft forgiving, the one who loves to forgive. Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are forgiving, you love to forgive. You love to what? To forgive. You love to forgive. That's a quality of Allah. He loves to what? Remind yourself. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah loves to forgive. فَعْفُ عَنِّي. So Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Allah's mercy is such that as human, He knows you will do good deeds and you will do bad deeds. Allah says, when your good deeds are more than your bad, I will grant you paradise. When your good deeds are more than your bad, I will grant you Jannah, paradise. I know you did bad. فَمَن ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. الله أكبر. Allah says, whoever's scale of good deeds is heavy, good news. Good news to them, they are successful. And whoever's scale of good deeds is light, then they are the ones. The hadith says, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. The hadith says, whoever has found something besides the goodness on their scale of deeds, they only blame themselves. So for me, and for all of us, life is a contest and a competition and a race against time. I need to put away as many good deeds as I can. You see, the little children, they play games. You have a certain time to play the game. You have certain score you need to reach. What do? You try hard to play. Anyone distracting you, keep quiet. I'm playing. Am I right? They will sit with the game and keep on pressing and touching and pressing. And you look at the guy looking at the screen and fiddling with the screen. You wonder what's going on. And when he breaks the previous score, he jumps up and you are wondering. Imagine watching from a CCTV, a little youngster tapping a screen, and then a little while later, yeah, what happened? He's all on his own screaming. Because he knows I need to be focused. I have 30 seconds, 1 minute, 10 minutes to score as many goals as I can. I need to reach 9999 or whatever it is. And once I reach it, that's it. No one must disturb me. Wallahi, the act of a mu'min should be such that you know I have life. My life is restricted. Let me be focused. No distractions. I must score as many goals as I can. I must fill my weight, the weight of good deeds, as much as I can. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا. We are all going back to Allah together. Everyone's going back to Allah. All of us. So Allah says, اِسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Compete when it comes to khayrat, doing good deeds. You do a good deed, tomorrow you should do a better deed. Your days must not be equal. Today should be better than yesterday, and tomorrow should be better than today. So you fill your scale. When you arrive on the day of judgment, you have amazing deeds. Amazing deeds. May Allah accept from us our deeds. But sometimes we take for granted how serious a sin is when you backbite about someone. You think it's light. When you slander, you know what is slander? You lied about them behind their backs, in front of their backs. You lied about someone. Allah Almighty says regarding the slander against our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. Allahu Akbar. They started saying bad words against our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah says, you think it's light. In the eyes of Allah, it's a very serious statement. So watch your tongue. Sometimes you and I say things we don't realize. We think it's okay. You know, I just forwarded a message on WhatsApp. Allah says, maybe that's your deed. You are going to go in the wrong place because of that. Don't just forward anything and everything you find. If it is slanderous, delete. That button of delete might be the button that will get you to Jannah possible, because you cut the slander. It didn't continue from you. It's easy. It's so easy. We are living in a world of excitement. Everyone wants to know things first. Everyone wants to know things first. If someone passes away, you want to be the first one to tell the world. So he's still dying and you pass, inna lillahi wa inna so and so is passed away. But brother, they are still dying. They're not yet passed away. Relax. Maybe they will live. Doesn't it happen? Everyone wants to be the first to give the news. Calm down. You are a mu'min. Take things in your stride. You need to understand. Slow down a little bit. No problem. You don't need to be the first. When you have La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam echoing from your mouth time and again, from your heart time and again, from your soul time and again, from every limb of your body time and again, do you know what happens? Those 99 files, each one from the east to the west, filled with bad deeds, were put on the scale. They were all bad, and suddenly a card dropped out of one of the files and it was said there, this person has uttered La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sidqan, truthfully, once in his life. They put that on the other side of the scale, and guess what? By the mercy of Allah, by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was heavier than all of that, and the man was granted Jannah. The man was granted Jannah. Many of us, our tongues, we don't remember Allah. We don't. I am guilty. I need to do more and I need to do better than yesterday. You get up in the morning, first words should be Alhamdulillah. Are they really Alhamdulillah? The alarm rings, what do we do? Naturally, snooze, bah, hit it, right? Or your phone, hit it, snooze. Then we get up, we are upset. I was enjoying my sleep, I was dreaming. You know, the one youngster, he was dreaming. In his dream, there was a man who came to him, tell him, here is $1 million. He said, no, I need 2 million. He said, come on. Yahi, you are being greedy. $1 million. No, I need 2 million. So they started arguing. Allah gave you so much. Allah gave you 1 billion. You are giving me 1 million. Give me 2 million. What's your problem? While they are arguing, his eye opened. Where's the million? He said, it's not there. He quickly closed his eyes. Okay, it's okay. Give me the million. It's fine. Wallahi, too late. You are living a dream. It's not going to happen. In our dunya, wallahi, when you die, you will be in the everlasting life. Exactly that will happen to the person who wasted his time. He will want to go back and say, oh Allah, لو أن لي كرة فأكون من المحسنين. If I had another chance, just one chance, so that I can do good. What was I saying moments ago? Do as much good as you can. You see someone, greet them. You see another person, smile. Look, today we have faces. Allah is the most powerful, most amazing. Every one of us, we have a different face. Not only a different face, every one of us has a different eyes, the iris. From the beginning of Adam to the end of the last person whom I will never meet. Maybe in Jannah we will meet. Every one of us has a different thumbprint. Every finger is different. Everyone, if you shave your head, the way your hair grew is different. Do you know this? Every zebra that there is in Kenya, the stripes are different from the other one. Did you know this? Check it out. Every giraffe, every leopard, every cheetah, the big five and the other seven that are there. You know what I'm talking about? We are in Kenya, the land of the big. Even if they tell me big 20, I will say, I believe you. Because you are Kenyans. Huh? MashaAllah. When I saw Brother Ahmad the first time, I thought he was one of the big ones. In my life, I ticked. I said, I seen one big one. But this time I came, brother lost weight. He told me, no, alhamdulillah, we are eating healthy. We are now eating healthy. May Allah grant us good health. I can joke about him because he is my brother. We are close. Every one of us has a beautiful face. We are looking. Do you realize something amazing? That is the power of Allah. Allah created you unique. Nobody can ever lie that you are him or he is you. In fact, sometimes twins look alike. But if you check the DNA, it can never ever fault. A researcher who wants to check, or an investigator, it won't fault them. Do you know the ulama have spoken about this? The scholars, they say it is a sign that there is hisab. Wallahi. The fact that we have different identity completely is a sign that one day you are going to face justice. And in the court of Allah, there can never be a mix-up. It is you. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, none of us will enter Jannah because of our deeds. We will enter Jannah because of the mercy of Allah. How can you achieve the mercy of Allah? Number one, shafa'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has to fight your case, and not even fight, but has to say to Allah, this one is from me, my ummah, I intercede on his behalf, wallahi, you are successful. May Allah grant us shafa'a of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do I get shafa'a? I get shafa'a by trying my best to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Almighty tells us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. That is the second half of the verse. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. O you who believe, send blessings and salutations upon him. It's a verse of Suratul Ahzab. Allah starts that verse by saying, Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allah and his angels are sending blessings and salutations upon this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Achieve intercession you are successful. Follow the example and continue to repeat, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. And if you want, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the shortest version. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an undisputed hadith says, man salla alayya wahida. Whoever sends blessings upon me once, sallallahu alayhi biha ashra, 10 times he will receive blessings from Allah. 10 times. So if you want blessings, you just need to send blessings and salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's an echo. It's an echo of enlightenment. Your tongue must be moist. What do I do? The most powerful words in existence are that of the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, that of the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One might ask, why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because Allah chose him. Don't be jealous. When the kuffar of Quraysh were jealous, they refused to follow. Allah chose.
Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusulan wa minan nas.
Allah chooses the messengers from among the angels and from among the people. Allah chooses. And when Allah chooses, nobody can say anything.
La yus'alu amma yaf'al.
Allah is not answerable to anyone or anything. He is Allah. Allah does as He pleases, as He wishes. So when Allah has chosen and favored Jibreel from among the angels alayhi salam, you cannot come and have a statement regarding that. No, I don't agree. A'udhu billah. Who are you to agree or not to agree? It's over. When Allah chooses the messengers, He chose afdalul khalqi wa akramur rusuli, the best of creation and the most noble of all prophets of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said he will be the last Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah wanted, He could have been the first, second, third, anyone. But Allah chose. Read the Quran. Allah says He chose.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ.
Allah chose these people. Adam, Ibrahim, family of Imran, family of Ibrahim. Allah chose these people above al-alameen, above all. Allah chose them. Nothing you can do about it. You have to thank Allah. Oh Allah, we thank you for the favor that you bestowed upon us. When I started this lecture, I said one of the biggest favors is you are the ummah of that great Nabi. Allah says,
لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Allah has favored the believers. What did He say? What did He say? Do you know what He said? Allah is telling you, I have favored the believers, al-mu'mineen. When did I favor them?
إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ.
When I sent to them, from amongst them, a messenger. He's talking about Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The favor of Allah upon you and I is He sent to us a guiding light. He sent to us a messenger. He sent to us the best. From amongst us, if there is any perfection, it is not in our midst. It is for Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ultimate perfection is for Allah. In this world, you won't find perfection. Every one of us, you know, one day, let me try and word this nicely because I don't want to offend anyone. One day there was a sister and she said to me, she sent me a message in email. She said, make dua for me. I'm not in hijab. I want to wear hijab. So I replied, I said, may Allah bless you and strengthen you to do the right thing. You know what is the right thing? You know yourself, make dua. But dua alone is not enough. You need to make an effort with the dua. Dua is very important. Extremely. But with the dua, you need to make an effort. Some effort. Al-akhdhu bil-asbabi. You need to try. Do something yourself. Anyway, she replied me and said, I am the face of a certain brand of makeup. So it's very hard. Oh, now you are getting somewhere, right? Now you are talking. So because you are being paid to paint your face, now you are saying, make dua for me. Wallahi, there are young boys. When I tell them, when are you quitting cigarette? They say, make dua. I meet them after 1 year. When are you quitting? Make dua. I meet them after 2 years. When are you quitting? Make dua. I said, brother, when I'm making dua at your grave, you will tell me, I now quit. May Allah forgive us. Right? You can't wait for that moment. It's too late. Together with make dua, you need to be strong. I'm quitting now. Drop it. Khalas. You have a bad habit. Drop it. I tell you, the sister says, make dua for me. I said, together with the dua, I want to tell you one very interesting thing. Man is enslaved by shaitan. Unless they are mu'mineen. Unless they are believers. Man is enslaved by shaitan. So much so that he makes you hate your identity. Do you know that? When you stand up, look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his companions, there were people from Habasha. Who was that? Bilal ibn Rabah. There were a few others, but Bilal ibn Rabah, one example. There were people from Europe. Who was that? Suhaib ibn Sinan, al-Rumi. Why? Why were there companions who were non-Arab? Because Allah wanted to teach you, la fadla li arabiyyin ala ajami, wala li ajamiyyin ala arabi, wala li abyadha ala aswad, illa bittaqwa. There is no virtue for one over the other, or the other over another, except by piety. There was a brother who accepted Islam a few weeks ago in Johannesburg, just before Salatul Maghrib, and I told him, my brother, you are qualified to stand in the first row behind the imam. He said, but I've just knew. I said, that's it. No matter who you are, how new you are, what color you are, what size you are, what financial standing you are, you stand. When you enter the masjid, no one says, right, please fill in the form. How much are you worth? No one does that. You come and alhamdulillah. That is the deen of Allah. It's a gift of Allah. So I told the sister, my dear sister, shaitan entraps the people, but you know when you are liberated, when you love yourself the way Allah made you. I am dark, I love myself. I am fair, I love myself. I have straight hair, I don't have straight hair. I have long nose, no long nose. I have one eye this way, one this way. Every one of us has something we think is wrong with us. No one is perfect. Perfection is for the hereafter. If you look carefully too much in the mirror, they say, my nose is a little bit bent. I say, brother, you are looking too much in the mirror. No one sees it. But one tooth is like this, the other two, you know, three teeth are this way. My brother, just brush your teeth. Can you chew your food? Yes, alhamdulillah, it's okay. Smile. It's your identity. I know so many people who go and fix things and after that they are depressed. They say, my nose is too small, too big. Then they go operate. What happens when they are finished with the operation? Some of them are suicidal. Wallahi. Read about it online. Check it. Google it. Suicidal thoughts after a nose job. Google it. You'll be shocked. Thousands of them. And I'm talking from knowledge because I have counseled some of these people. What did you do? You were not happy with how Allah made you. Yes. If there is something abnormal, you can correct it. If you have six fingers, you can either live with it or chop off the one. No harm. It's permissible. No harm. Something not normal. If you can't see much with your eyes, you can either wear glasses or you can do a laser. No problem. If you are squinting, you can correct it. No problem. But have you heard that statement? Huh? A guy, all makeup on his face. Brother, what's happening? He said, don't judge me. I said, okay. You are judging yourself, my brother. Not me. Be happy. It's okay. So what? I have a pimple, two pimples, some mark, something here, there. No problem. I'm a man. I will continue to move. If a woman beautifies herself, it should not be to the point where she's enslaved by what society is going to think of her. No, I'm doing it to a certain degree because I'd like to look a little bit better. There is a scope of permissibility to beautify yourself, no problem. But the minute you get overexcited, it's a big problem, I promise you. They were asking me, when do I know what is right and what is wrong? Some people ask, they say, how much makeup is permissible? Wallahi, you can't ask me the question. Number one is, why are you doing it? Who are you doing it for? And so on. So many questions to answer. But now there is a quick way of telling. You know the iPhone, they have face recognition. Have you seen it? You pick up, you see the phone opens. If you put enough makeup, too much of that thing there, when you pick up, it won't recognize you. Say, now I put too much. Khalas. Ask the sisters who get overboard, does your phone really recognize who you are at the moment? They say, no. When I'm finished my function and everything, I'll wipe it, then I'll use my phone. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If that is the case, then surely we are enslaved. Liberate yourself. Love yourself how you are. Those who love you the way you are the true people. They are the true people. So the point being raised here is every one of us is unique. That's what I was saying. So guess what will happen? It's not only about your eyes and your thumb and your face. It's about your tabi'ah, your nature. Some are hard, some are loud, some are soft, some are aggressive, some are passive. Am I right? Amongst us, in one family, they'll say, this son of mine does not talk too much. And they say, this one here, he's a loud mouth, right? This guy here, he's a fighter. That guy is passive. You hear this. Why? Allah made you. Allah wants to test you in the dunya. Are you going to live with all these people and appreciate the good that comes from them? Or are you going to be able, are you not going to be able to survive in their midst? I need to love you. I need to appreciate you. I need to look at the good and use whatever I could for the goodness of the ummah, help you. If I want to employ you at my business, I know that perhaps you are a loud mouth, so I might have to tolerate that a little bit. But if you are a professional in your field, you are honest and hardworking, come, you are welcome. I can talk to you, I can get along with you, but I will excuse your weakness to a degree. When it becomes insulting and abusive, we might have to say, listen, brother, that's a little bit overboard. But otherwise, I'm different. When I was young, I was a very quiet guy. If you ask me, I would never believe I'm going to stand up one day and speak to thousands of people and, you know what, remind them about Allah. I didn't know that this would happen. But subhanAllah, it happened slowly but surely. And today, when I look at the brothers, I recognize some of the faces. Some. And some, I feel a connection, but I don't know you before. But I feel there's something. You are my brother. Wallahi. Fillah. Because of Allah. For the love of Allah. And the deen of Allah. We are the ummah. We should care for one another. I know there might be differences here and there. Everyone is different. Your nature is different. Your understanding will be different. Your understanding, your nature, your likes and dislikes. That doesn't mean I have the right to insult you or to dishonor you or to disrespect you. I always tell the young people, listen, don't lose your good character because of someone else's bad character. A guy swore you in public. Are you going to swear back in the same public? If you did, what was the difference between the two of you? No difference. But a guy swore you. It has happened to me. I just look and say, Jazakallah khair. He gets even more angry because his aim was to aggravate you and you didn't get aggravated. I know. Ya akhi, what's it? There was a guy. He parked his car next to mine, not parked, but we stopped at the traffic light. He was very angry and upset because I overtook him. Anyway, he stopped there and he's making loud sounds with his big exhaust, which he fitted at the back of his Subaru. You know, big exhaust. For me, the sound is like some people make big noise, but in actual fact, there is nothing to offer. So big noise at the back, nice. Maybe at night there is a spark. Some of the youngsters know they have something in that system where when you press it, bah, bah, and there is a flame that comes out. Young boy, 16 years old, feeling like he owns the whole world. My brother, you haven't even seen anything in the world yet. For you, one spark is getting you so excited, right? It's the age, no problem. You can be happy. Enjoy, enjoy. So he came, he started making big noise. He opened his window. He's showing me fingers. You know, fingers. He wants to swear. I looked at him. I said, just put my thumb like this. And he's swearing, swearing. I said, now because I am praising his car, he's so happy. He doesn't know whether to smile or to cry. Because what did he want? He only wants to attract attention. I know that. He only wants people to say, wow, nice car, right? So like, good car. He was so happy. He started laughing. He started doing, and he was so, in 1 second from swearing to being happy and excited. And I told myself, wallahi, if I wanted, I could sway him back. Isn't it? Would it help or it wouldn't help? So think, think. Sometimes it's just excitement. People get angry because they have a nice car. If you ever are driving on this beautiful new highway that you have in Nairobi, for me, I was very surprised. I'm coming after a long time. And I was thinking to myself from the airport, it's going to take 2 hours to get to where we are getting. Wallahi, in 10 minutes we were there. I said, Subhanallah. Subhanallah, what a beautiful development here in Nairobi. But I'm sure a matter of time, if someone is speeding, you must watch. When you overtake a more beautiful car than yours, if they are young drivers, usually he will get angry. Because what are you insulting me for? I have a better car than yours, right? So he starts speeding. Yahi, relax, cool down. This is only dunya. Allah has prepared for us. Jannah fiha ma la aynun ra'at wa la udhunun sami'at wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. In Jannah, there is that which no eyes have seen, no ears have heard. It hasn't even crossed the heart of anyone. You haven't seen it. You haven't seen it. Allah has prepared that for us. So I was raising a point that we enter Jannah through the mercy of Allah, through the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will achieve that intercession by following. And secondly, when we do our deeds that Allah made compulsory upon us, like our 5 salah, like our zakah, like our fasting in Ramadan, when we are kind to others, when we are good to the rest of the people, then Allah's mercy comes down. My deeds will not be sufficient to get me to Jannah, because Jannah you can only get with the mercy of Allah. But I can get the mercy of Allah when I keep trying and I fulfill, because that trial and that fulfillment will bring about the mercy of Allah. You commit a sin. Did you do tawbah? Yes, you did. The tawbah will bring the mercy of Allah. Did you read Salatul Fajr? Yes, Allah's mercy will come on you. Did you do Salat al-Dhuhr? Yes, Allah's mercy will come on you. That's what it is. Because our deeds, at times they are not good enough. Something goes wrong with the intention and it's a little bit spoiled. Allah says, we know we created you this way. We know we created you this way. You are on earth, so you will like and love certain things. Allah says, we know that. There was a young man. He came to me. He said, please convince my father. I need to marry that woman. I went to the father. I told him, uncle, and I knew them. I said, uncle, your son came to me. He wants me to talk to you. You are a good man. He wants to marry the other, that lady. No, she's a divorcee. I don't want. She has one child. My son is young. I think she is conning the young boy. I said, look, to marry a divorcee is not wrong. Sometimes they have a child. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked after the children of others and he married divorcees and widows who had children at times. Only one he married who was never married before, Aisha radiallahu anha. The rest of them, they were married before, including Khadija binti Khuwaylid radiallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala anha. So don't be too hard. That woman comes from a good family. She is 1 year older than him. And you know what? She has a child and she has a good reputation. So you go through divorce, one of the things. So the uncle says, no, I'm not going to accept. I'm not going to accept. Anyway, after 4 months, there was a marriage. I didn't know. I was traveling. I don't know what happened. The marriage and the guy got married. I came back. I said, oh, brother, what happened?
He said, I had to make a plan. I said, what was the plan? He said, Sheikh, I don't want to tell you. I said, but why? He told me, you know, I was so depressed after my father disagreed. I was talking to my friends. My friends gave me an idea. So one day I went home and I told my father, I want to marry that guy. He said, what? Yes, he says, I want to marry that. There's another guy, he's very handsome. He said, what? Are you okay? He says, no. The father was so angry. He said, where is that woman? Bring her here. He says, bring her here. We will marry now. I said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Imagine, I said, my brother, I feel sorry for your father because you almost killed him with a heart attack. Right? He said, Sheikh, may Allah forgive me. There was no other way. I said, Ya akhi, you cheated. But the point being raised is, look where the world is going. If you are not going to promote halal, wallahi, something haram might happen. Do you know what I'm saying? Yesterday I spoke in the masjid to say, oh, you fathers who are here, make it easy for your children to marry. Yes, we have rules, we have regulations, we will follow, but go easy. Try to understand and guide them. Facilitate. We are living in an age of hyper haram. So for you to make things a little bit easier, inshallah, Allah will bless you. Because there is so much going on there, you will be shocked. I have people. I cannot even tell you the stories because it is disrespectful to the house of Allah. But there are things happening that are worth crying tears of blood. We are here talking about Allah and His Rasul. My beloved brothers, my sisters, let's get closer to Allah. Let's promise. We have a gift. This Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, learn about him. Follow his footsteps. I was saying, keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah al-azim. كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Two words, two phrases that are light on the tongue, heavy on the scale, loved by Allah. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Praise Allah all the time. Send blessings and salutation upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as much as you can. May Allah Almighty grant us goodness. Because if you want to be saved from the fitna that is happening, certain things, they are non-compromisable. For example, your 5 daily prayers. No matter what you have done, pray. No matter where you are, pray. No matter how much work you have, whatever, pray. 5 prayers, don't compromise. You don't have water, you do tayammum. You are on a journey, you have a bonus and a discount. Subhanallah, Allah has made it so easy. Salli qa'iman fa'in lam tastati' faqa'idan. If you read standing, your salah prop, if you are unable, Allah says, you can sit and read, it's okay. The same way, if you are unable to do certain things, do it in a slightly different way, but do it. Learn from the scholars. This masjid and this institution, Al-Huda, look at it. Watch the facility. Look at how big and beautiful the masjid is. Look at the compound. Look at the car park. Look at the facility out there. There is like a school. There is a little area there. I think it might be a gymnasium or a covered area there. There is a television station, a radio station. There is so much. Who is this for? Wallahi, it's for you, the ummah. It doesn't belong to one person. I built it for myself and khalas. May Allah make it a sadaqah jariyah for those who built it and those who made it happen. Ameen. But the idea, use the facility. Come, use the facility. Make sure you are around. Don't let shaitan make you think, you know what? I'm not going to go. No, I can't go. Wallahi, come, do your salah at least. Things begin. Your closeness to Allah, your akhlaq. One thing the ummah is also lacking is your character. Your character and conduct is something you need to work upon. Many of the young, they don't care anymore. Do you respect your adults? Anyone older than you? Do you know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Man lam yuqir kabirana wa lam yarham saghirana falaysa minna." Whoever does not respect the older people and have mercy on the younger people cannot claim that he is from us. In our deen, in our religion, you need to respect the adults. Anyone older than you, he already has the respect of seniority. You will greet him, talk to him with respect. You will seat him before you. That is the original Muslim. Don't lose that. You are a true Muslim. Respect the older people. Gray hair, respect them. And if you are a true Muslim, have mercy on the young people. You come to the masjid, one, two small boys might make a little bit of noise this way, that way. Go easy, they are just kids, it's fine. You don't have to get so angry and destroy the little one, bring him and drop him from the top and so on. No, go easy. That is Islam. How are you eating? When you are eating, are you thinking of the others? Do you feed the poor? When you earn, is there a small portion of your money that goes out? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us there are some people who will earn Jannah because they spent money. They spent money. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. The one who gives, the one who is conscious of Allah, the one who believes in the goodness, in the Quran, the Sunnah, in the deen of Allah, in the hereafter, in the day of Hisab. Allah says, we make it easy for that person to do good things, more and more good things. So humble yourself. Everyone is different. Everyone's temperament is different. Everyone's understanding is different. How are you going to interact with them? When I meet a man who's rough and tough, I need to understand who he is, what his qualities are, speak to him in a nice way. Maybe I can help him a little bit, and perhaps I will not insult him. But I need to live with him. Don't make enemies for nothing. If you're a true leader and you want goodness, minimize your enemies, cut them. You cannot have a war with everyone that is here. No, you can't. Maybe there are some people you want to stay away from them, but it will drain you to be at war with others. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he used to do? He didn't want to fight. He didn't look forward to going and fighting. They were instructed by Allah to get back what was theirs legitimately. So they had the battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, the battle of Khandaq. All that was against whom? Those who persecuted them for many years. And he participated in it. But for us, I can go on and on, but let me tell you one more important factor. As a member of the community, when I see a young boy on drugs or a young girl who is lost, I think to myself, how can I help this person? That's what I think. I also blame myself to a small degree to say, maybe we could have done something for the community that would have saved this youngster. Because to occupy yourself with something that is clean fun is far better than to leave your mind idle. When you sit and you have nothing to do and you have bad friends, where do they take you? They take you to a bad place. They talk in a bad way. They swear. Their tongues are filthy. They begin to smoke. Initially, it starts off with the normal tobacco cigarette. After that, when they start pronouncing the words better, they think tajweed. So they go on to the weed, you see. Because they start having colorful words, you know? Colorful words. The weed comes in. When the weed comes in, what happens? Other things come in. It's not enough. Shaitan drags you more and more. Every rule that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us is only there in order to make us the best of people. That is why the kuffar who are watching us, they are interested in the deen of Allah because they look at the discipline there is. Here is a Muslim. If you are a normal Muslim, you won't be drinking, you won't be gambling, you won't be committing adultery, you won't be stealing, deceiving. You will correct your heart from the conditions, jealousy, hatred, ill feeling, deception. You are a straight, upright, beautiful, wonderful human being who is a pleasure to interact with. Do you know why? Because you are a true Muslim. Wallahi, you are a pleasure. If I meet you, I know this man is a true Muslim because he met me with a smile. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to such detail that you need to move your lip in this direction to get a reward, that's the detail. You know your lips, here your lips. To move this one up here and this one up here is a sadaqah. Like this, let me show you. You see, everyone did the same thing. I'm only showing you, but we are all showing. One old man in Cape Town, he came to me. He told me, Sheikh, you told us about smiling. Smiling is a charity. I find it difficult to smile. I said, Uncle, why? Because I don't have teeth. I said, Inshallah, for you is a double reward. Just smile. Imagine that he doesn't have teeth, he's smiling. It's so cute. I said, my uncle, when they look at you, the heart is melting. They say, wow, look at this old man, no teeth. He said, don't call me old, I'm still young. Yeah. I'm still young. So to smile, why? Because wallahi, everyone has worries. Everyone has challenges in life. Everyone. My brother, I have so many challenges. When I see my Muslim brother or sister, at least I need to think, how can I contribute to the life of this person to liven it up a little bit, to give a small bit of enlightenment? Wallahi, as simple as tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. To smile at the face of your brother is sadaqa. It's a charity. Notice how he says akhika. Because you can't have the brothers going to the sisters and saying, Assalamu alaikum. What are you doing there? Someone will slap you. Be careful. Don't temper. You know the rules of the deen of Allah, right? You have a good smile. But you need to know where your lines are. May Allah Almighty bless all of us. I really ask you all to pray for the Ummah. At the moment, we are going through many struggles. You and I know what is going on in Gaza. We ask Allah to help our brothers and sisters. As an Ummah, we have failed them. We ask Allah to protect them. Wallahi, my heart races when I think of how helpless we are and what is going on everywhere in the world. So many of our brothers and sisters are struggling. We should never be a vehicle of creating struggle for someone else. You and I need to create ease for someone. مَن نَفَّسَ عَمْ مُسْلِمٍ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا. There is a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever makes easy for another the hardship of this dunya, Allah will make easy for them in this world and in the akhirah. May Allah make it easy for us. We all need Jannah. We should live as brothers. The Prophet ﷺ says, don't be jealous of one another, don't backbite one another, don't hurt one another, don't deceive one another. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Be the worshippers of Allah as brothers. He knows that everyone has a different temperament, different understanding. He says, you are brothers, live together, stay nicely. You need to be able to appreciate each other as an ummah. When the disbelievers look at us, they look at the believers and they say, that's a Muslim, that's a Muslim, that's a Muslim, that's a Muslim. They don't look into the small nitty-gritty differences that we may have. They don't look at that. These are Muslimin. It's only the Muslims whom they look at another Muslim and say, how can I take this guy out of Islam? That's the Muslim attitude. When you see someone like that, you must know that he is doing the wrong thing. As a Muslim, I need to look at what is it in this brother or sister that can bring him in the ummah. You know, when someone says, I want to say shahada, it happens all the time. They come in the front, we say, repeat after me, ashhadu. You know how it works, right? Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. We make them say shahada. Once we are done, the whole crowd, what do they say? Takbir, right? And everyone says, Allahu Akbar. It is so loud, so beautiful, so amazing. As soon as that is done, before the poor fellow comes out of the masjid, five people got hold of him. You better watch out. These people are astray. You must watch out. The guy is confused. I just said my shahada. What's going on? What's happening? No, but those guys, be careful for these people. Watch out for those people. You know, you must watch out that. Yahi, relax. This guy just accepted Islam. Why are you overwhelming him? Another thing, the same people who were saying, those are astray, these are astray, that revert, now he wants to get married. Nah, you can't marry him. They're reverts. How can you give your daughter to a revert? Many of them come to me, Yahi, I accepted Islam. I said the shahada. And it's been 4 or 5 years, I'm in the community, mashallah, I want to get married. No one wants to give me their daughter. Or the other way around, the father will not accept because the girl is a revert. So I got up in the masjid, I said, Abu Bakr was a revert, Umar was a revert, Uthman was a revert, Ali was a revert, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. They were before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where were they and what were they doing? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu himself speaks about worshipping things. What were they? Were the bulk of them not mushrikeen before? So technically, are they not reverts? They came to Islam. Ya Rasulullah, inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka abduhu wa rasuluhu. They became mu'mineen. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu was the 40th person to accept Islam. Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib was standing at the door of the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam radiyallahu anhu. And this is when it took place. Amazing. Did they then chase everyone out? No, they didn't. They helped them in every way. My brothers and sisters, help each other. We support each other. We need to be there for each other. I end with a verse of the Quran. Very powerful echo.
وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ.
Allah says, the kuffar will always protect one another against you. Always. If you are not going to protect one another, there will be great chaos and corruption on earth. That is one of the most powerful verses. You are one ummah. You have the power more than you can imagine. If you are not going to protect one another, look out for one another, support one another, stand up for one another, you will be crushed. There's going to be a problem. Why? Fitnatun fil ardi wa fasadun kabir. Learn from the others. What are they doing? They stick up for one another. They have proven that even when they are wrong, they will stick up for one another. With us, Allah Almighty says, you stand up for one another, you protect one another in what is right. May Allah Almighty help me and help all of us. May Allah unite the ummah. May Allah bring us closer and closer to the deen of Allah. My brothers, my sisters, I really thank you for your time and your attention. And I pray that whatever I have said can actually penetrate the heart and come as a good message to effect positive change in the ummah. I pray that it is a light that is ignited and it is an echo that can enlighten yourselves and myself. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayki.